processes of cooking, like we have bishulach, afia, and we have suya as well, right? Roasting, baking, and cooking. And let's talk a little bit about if we said there's ein bishul achar bishul, what about bishul achar afia? You have something which is baked, and then you want to heat it up in some way. And again, remember the fundamental difference between bishul and afia. And for now, we'll group afia and sliya together. We'll see maybe later if we should separate those two as well. But the major difference between the two of them is whether it's going to be a liquid medium or not. So if you then, if you take your, I don't know why you're taking your cookies that you baked and then you want to heat them up by being mavashal them. So that's going to be the case that we're going to, that'll be the case that we're going to have to. Yeah, that's a better case. That's the case that the Rambam actually talks about. Right? You want to put your, good, thank you. More normal. Put your bread into your, let's say you throw it into the pot. The pot of your soup. Is there anything wrong with that or not? So again, just the svaras to keep in mind that we've been talking about throughout is that if you have a chi of a bishul, it's the something that is being transformed by the heat. Something is changing. So is this considered to be a change or is this not considered to be a change? So the Beis Yosef quotes, I saw if you get a chance to look at any of the Amar Makomos that I sent out yesterday. So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Yoreim. And the Yoreim writes, Afa pisha in bishul achar bishul, even though there is no bishul after bishul, kedisnan, as we saw in that Mishnah Kuf Mem Hey, kol shavua b'chamin may erev Shabbos, shoven oso b'chamin b'Shabbos, that if something which went into hot water before Shabbos, meaning it was cooked, you can then put it and soak it in hot water on Shabbos. Perush b'chamin b'kli rishon, shenis basho kol tzarko, right? If it's fully cooked and you're putting it into a kli rishon, that is going to be fine. Mikol makom, still, yesh bishul achar afoy utzli. There is going to be a problem of bishul if you take your bread and your mavashel the bread. Ain bishul achar bishul, bless you, but there is going to be bishul achar afiyah. Why is there going to be bishul achar afiyah? So he proves it from a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. A Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, Andaf Mem Aleph, he quotes it here, the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. The Kaimalank Rabbi Yossi, that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, the Amar Yotzim Nepesach B'matzos Rokik Sharoi, Avalo B'mevushol Achar Afiyah, Shabishol Shacharkin Mevatal HaAfiyah. So again, that's already his explanation. So he said two things there. He says that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in Pesachim, that when it comes to matzah on Pesach, you can be yotzei with soaked matzah, but you cannot be yotzei with cooked matzah. So if you cook your matzah, which obviously was baked, matzah is baked, and you do bishul afterwards, you cannot be yotzei. Why? So the Urayim says, you know what the pshat is? Bishul shacharkein mevatel ha'afiyah. The bishul that comes afterwards overrides, undoes, nullifies the afia, the baking that happened earlier. We'll have to explain that more. Let's just get the facts down, and then we'll try to understand it a little bit better. So again, the Reim proves in the Gemara in Pesachim that the Gemara in Pesachim says that if you're mevashel, your matzah which is baked, you can't be yotzei anymore. Matzah has to be baked. You can't do it. Why? He says it must be that the process of bishul overrides the process of afia. Therefore, lahalacha, says the Yoreim, hilkach yizoy aradam akpareh, for a person must be careful, shelo yitein pas afuya, afilu b'klisheni b'shabes, b'mokum shayad soledes bo. Therefore, you should not take your challah and put it even into a klisheni. Let's leave that part out of today's discussion because we didn't talk about klisheni at all yet. Leave that out, so we can even just talk about the kli rishon. That's enough for us. But you have to be concerned of bishul. You have to be concerned of bishul, and therefore you cannot take your if you want to throw matzah into the chicken soup pot for everybody to be able to have little pieces of matzah farfel in their soup. You cannot do that on Shabbos. This is not a gebrach concern. It's a Shabbos. but it's going to be a problem of Bishul. That is the Shita of the Urayim. The Beis Yosef also brings the opinion of the Rav Yoh. The next source, Miu Rav Yoh Kasav to Av Milsidi. No, sorry. The Beperekates and Mevarachim, because the Gemara Brachos, Maisi Law, brings this. This Rav Yosef, the Gemara in Brachos, brings the Rav Yosef from Maseches Psachim that the Urayim just used as a raya for what he wanted to say. And the Gemara there said, the Adkan here, the Gemara has a discussion about shlakos, about at what point, if you really, really overcook vegetables, is that going to change the bracha from a hadama to a shahakol? And there the Gemara says, the Adkan lo kamar biyosi elagavi matzah dibo inan ta'am matzah v'leka. And over there the Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi's din is based on a unique halacha on Pesach of ta'am matzah. It's not because a bishul came along and did anything to an afiyah. It's not about bishul. It's about ta'am matzah. It's about the taste of matzah. And so he says, it's not about being mevato the afiyah. It's simply about a change in taste. And that change in taste, when it comes to matzah, is going to be problematic. Says the Beis Yosef, just finish this piece up. Vahi de ose rav yami maskana de perek ketzad mevarchin hi kushya chazaka. Does this kasha that the rav yah asks on the urayim, from the very same source that he's trying to bring, is a very strong kasha on the urayim. So again, just to quickly summarize, when it comes to bishul achar afiyah, as opposed to bishul achar bishul, so we have the opinion of the Urayim that, right, yesh bishul achar afiyah, there is bishul after afiyah, and then we have the Rav Yoh who argues and says ein bishul achar afiyah. And again, their point of contention, we'll have to explain it a little bit better, seems to be in understanding this shita of Rav Yosi when it comes to matzah. Oh. So what is the Shulchan Aruch? Who is the Beis Yosef? Right? The Beis Yosef wrote the Shulchan Aruch. So this Beis Yosef, who just told us that he brought both opinions, he brought the Urayim and the Rav Yoh, but he told us that the kasha that the Rav Yoh asks on the Urayim is a kushya chazaka, is a strong kasha. How did you paskin? So the Beis Yosef writes in Shin Yud Ches Sifhei, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Mishomer. There is one opinion that says, the Dovar Shene'efa Unitzla. If you have something that was baked or roasted in Bishlu Acharkach B'mashka, if you're going to cook it afterwards in liquid, Yesh bo mishum bishul. There is a problem of bishul. The shita of the Urayim. And therefore, aser lite pas afil b'chlisheni shayatza lettuce bo. And therefore, you have to be concerned about putting something which has been baked into even a klisheni. Again, leaving klisheni out for now. But putting it into a kli rishon and putting it into a pad if it's hot. Vish matirim. And there are those that are matir, which is the opinion of the Rav Yoh. So the Mechaber brings both opinions in this machlokas about bishul achar afiyah. Says the Ramah. So he says that the v'yesh matirin b'kli sheni. So first the Rav Yoh says that there are those that are matir in a kli sheni. So apparently, there's a third opinion here, right? Because the Rav Yoh did not distinguish between a kli rishon and a kli sheni. The Rav Yoh is the third opinion that the Ramah quotes. It's not this the first nuance. Apparently, there's another sheet as well. That's the opinion of the Rav Yoh. Shehayad soledes bo. says the Ramah, that the minhag and proper thing to do is to be concerned with the opinion of the Urayim. Right? Ramah, this says,
Yishli Zahir.
That one should be careful. The question is, what's the pshat in the Urayim? What's the pshat in the Urayim? So the Beis Yosef, again, the Beis Yosef clued us in a little bit, because the Beis Yosef in his explanation told us through in these words, Sha'bishul Sha'acharkach Mivatel Ha'afiya. The subsequent cooking nullifies the baking. That's not exactly what that means, but somehow the key to trying to understand this is that bishul is a process that overrides and thereby nullifies the afiyah. The Taz has a slightly different approach. It's over here. So the Tan writes, "Kan in Shabbos lo mahani ha dechiyah mitem shum tam matzah bina racham zin vaser tam atavsho." The kevan nirishtana atama idei abishul amrina dineskaven lo zeh b'Shabbos lo other bina tam yofel lo diyish b'mishum bishul afilu achar bishul koshkein achar afia. He seems to be saying that it's a question of tam. And that what we see from that Gemara, this is the challenge when it comes to a kasha like the Rav Yo's kasha. When the Rav Yo asks a kasha on the very same Gemara that the Urayim did, because there's a Gemara in Brachos that goes to Rosie differently, so the answer isn't, oh man, I wish the Urayim would have learned Brachos, and then he would have, right? Obviously the Urayim knew the Gemara in Maseches Brachos as well. So he and the Taz suggests that the way that he understood that Gemara is that when the Gemara says Ta Matzah Bo'inan, it's explaining to us that the main point when it comes to a halacha that's based on Bishul is that it changes the Ta'am. And the same way that it's going to be a significant Bishul when it comes to Matzah, because it changes the Ta'am, that is Megala to us that a process in terms of bishul is considered to be a change, which again is what we were looking for, right? In order to be significant, why is there ein bishul achar bishul? Because nothing happened. Nothing changed. It didn't become more edible. It's already been cooked. The chiddush of the Urayim is that it's not just about becoming more edible, it's about changing the ta'am. And a bishul process, when you take something which has been baked and then you cook it, that is a significant change in ta'am. That's a significant change in ta'am. That reveals to us that there was a bishul that happened. If there's a bishul that happened, so why shouldn't you be chayiv? Why should you be chayiv? It's not a gzeiras hakasov, the ain bishul achar bishul. It's a svara. The svara of ain bishul achar bishul is he didn't do anything. Says the Urayim, but here you did something. What's the raya that you did something? The ta'am. Where do we see that? Oh, that's the Gemara Brachos. The Gemara Brachos reveals to us where Rav Yossi is coming from. That the definition, the significance of a bishul is that the bishul changes the ta'am. The question is, does this go in both directions? Meaning we just talked now about bishul achar afia. Well, what about afia achar bishul? What about if you take a cooked item and then you bake it? What's such a case?
Bake it. What?
Bagels are complicated. I don't know. Yeah, but even just much more simply, you take a piece of boiled chicken, and then you heat it up on a barbecue. Again, why is your barbecue? You're violating Nisr anyway. You tell me what the answer is, right? Whatever reason is, are you chayav? It's this basho called sarko. It is fully, fully cooked.
There's a big difference now, right? Because you're going to char it.
Oh,
very
good. Very good. If we're talking according to the way the Taz understood that it's about ta'am, then it makes sense, l'chora, right, that as long as it changes the ta'am, it should go in both directions. If you understand that it's something about bishul, that bishul is a more severe process, bishul is a bigger question. When he says that the bishul is mevatel the afi, does that mean that the second process is mevatel the first process? Or does that mean on bishul? There's something about bishul that is stronger than afia. Why would that be? One simple reason is because of the liquid medium. When you're cooking something in a liquid, by definition, it's going to have more of an effect than if you're just heating up something. Okay, because you could have cases of afia where it's not as big a change as what you're saying with the charring. There, it's an open fire. But let's say I put it inside my oven. The boiled chicken is on my oven. That's not going to make a major change. We'll take a little bit of the liquid out, whatever. Maybe that's not going to be a major change. So maybe it should depend on whether there's a change or not. So again, this issue in terms of going in, whether it goes in both directions, is a bit of a machlokas. The Shilta Giborim assumes that it does go in both directions, in the same way that the same way that the Urayim says Yesh Bishul Achar Afia, he also says that Yesh Afia Achar Bishul, and the Torah disagrees. And that at least Minat Torah, then once the item has been Mevushal, there would not be a problem putting it next to the fire. Why should it not go? Yeah.
The Shilta Giborim, I didn't see the Rav Yoh inside. Technically, the Shilta Giborim could even be the Rav Yoh. All the Rav Yoh told us is that there's no Raya.